Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. Meet Jim Roddy, President and CEO of the RSPA, Retail Solution Providers Association, author, coach, retail industry insider, podcaster, and fellow Rethink Retail top global retail influencer. Jim shares his insights from his unique vantage point about the North American retail technology ecosystem and innovative service solutions. The RSPA is North America's largest community of VARs, software developers, vendors, and distributors in the retail, restaurant, grocery, and cannabis verticals, from major multinationals to independent Main Street retailers. With his big ears, Jim has decades of experience reporting on this crucial element of the retail technology landscape. He shares his perspectives on the current and future state as his members help him and retailers see around corners and be ready for what's next. Let's listen in now. Jim, welcome to the Voice of Retail podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm wonderful, Michael. Good to talk with you, as always.
Well, good to talk to. We should call out, we're both Rethink Retail global influencers. What that means and what that's all about, we can talk about that later. But we also intersect with your organization, the RSPA. So it's really great to have you on the mic and chat about trends in retail technology.
No, happy to do it. Always a pleasure to connect with you. And since we're both on that list, we don't have to ask each other for autographs when we meet in person. So
that's right. That's right. Listen, I know you well, but of course, the listeners may not. So why don't we start there? Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do for a living.
Sure. So I am the president and CEO of the RSPA. That's Retail Solutions Providers Association. I've been engaged with that group for moving on to 20 years now, and I've spent about 25 years in the greater, what we call retail technology channel. I'm a native of Erie, Pennsylvania. We have a team in the Ontario Hockey League, so I've always considered myself an honorary Canadian. Connor McDavid played his junior hockey in Erie, but just about 6 months ago, I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. So my status as an honorary Canadian, I don't think is going to be renewed. So for 17 years, I was at Business Solutions Magazine. That was the top technology publication for, again, what we call the retail IT channel. And so it's all in that indirect sales model, right? The vendors who are making the hardware, the software developers, the distributors who are bundling it all together. And instead of selling that necessarily direct, like that's a lot of times what happens in tier one, sometimes tier two, I've played in the indirect business model that has the value-added resellers, the local folks who are doing the sales, the installation, the support, the service, everything that goes along with that. That's what Business Solutions focused on. That's how I got involved in the RSPA. So again, I was there 17 years, then about 4 years as a business coach for the value-added resellers and also software developers. And then about 4 years ago, joined the RSPA in a full-time capacity, but I've been a board member for the RSPA, board chair, committee volunteer, things of that nature. It's, as you know firsthand, Michael, just an amazing community, and I'm really blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is. And we should also say you're an author. You're an author of The Walk-On Method. Tell us about your book. Talk about that for a bit.
I am, yeah. So the book is called The Walk-On Method to Career and Business Success. So for those who might not be big college sports fans, there are scholarship teams, right, where you get an athletic scholarship to play on the team. A walk-on is somebody without an athletic scholarship who tries out for the team and makes the team. So I did that at a small college powerhouse in the States, Gannon University, again, also in Erie, Pennsylvania. And so that experience has really helped shape the way that I have approached my professional career. Obviously not as a professional basketball player. I was like the last guy off the bench for 4 years, but my professional career. And so I wanted to share that life lesson with others, but I didn't want to do it through the eyes of Jim Roddy, which again, a lot of people haven't heard of me, or, you know, they would say you just, you know, it was a strike of lightning. You got lucky. And so I interviewed 30 other walk-ons to see if that experience shaped their professional career. And their stories are all amazing. And again, I'm super, super blessed, super fortunate to have connected with a lot of those folks. And so the book is available on Amazon. And again, it's The Walk-On Method to Career and Business Success.
Well, I'll put a link in the show notes just to get us to get there. It is a fantastic story, and as you highlighted, there's so many life lessons from being a student athlete. I talked to many who it's such a formulative time, but it also sets, you know, there's a lot of cross-pollination or a lot of lessons to be learned in the business world, other worlds as well, right? I mean, I think that's what you work in and you draw from in your coaching, right? Is even today, I watch you experience you with the members, you're always coaching gently or directly depending on what they're looking for, right?
Well, and like I actually have a note that's up on my corkboard here. It says, my job is to mobilize the expertise of others and share collective wisdom. So everything that I've done, like the book as well, it's not, and you know, what we do at the RSPA, it's not me based on Jimmy's a genius. I have all this great insight for you. We're very fortunate from an RSPA perspective that we are not a distributor. We're not a vendor. We're not a software developer, not a payments company. We're not a VAR, but we're in the middle of all those. So we get a unique vantage point, and this community is so generous with their insights. We really collect a lot of those and are able to share those. So again, I've been really fortunate. A lot of folks have allowed me to vacuum their brains over the years, and I'm happy to share what I've learned, what they've taught me. I'm happy to share that with others.
Well, let's talk about the RSPA for a bit. Once again, tell us what that stands for. I have personal experience with it over the years. I'm blessed to be an advisory board member. Michelle Seawell, the board chair asked me to join. It's been quite amazing meeting all the people. But talk a bit about the history. Celebrating 75 years this year, which is a major accomplishment for any association, but in 75 years, lots of change. So take us through a little bit of the genesis of the organization. Not a history lesson, but it's important to understand where you come from, and then let's talk about how it continues to change and adapt to meet the current retail and environment.
Yeah, happy to. So founded in 1948 as the Independent Cash Register Dealers Association. So all folks, mechanical cash registers, merged with the Systems Dealers Association, the SDA, many years after that. And that's where the name, the RSPA, came from. And so when we say retail solutions providers, we have a broader umbrella of retail than maybe some folks have. It includes retail, of course, but also restaurants, grocery and C-store, and then our fastest growing sub-vertical is the cannabis space. And so anybody who plays in the technology world in those vertical markets, we're a fit for them. We don't have any end users in our community because it's all folks talking about how do we provide the best solutions? How do we build up the strongest business to be able to serve those merchants? So we have over 700 member companies ranging from the biggest of the big, right? We've got the Googles, the Verizons, the Intel, HP, right? All those big companies, all the way down to niche software providers and then small local value-added resellers, even three-person organizations, husband, wife, and child, right? And, or one other person, and they're providing that local service. And so the way that we've adapted over the years is, by having big ears, right? We're always listening to what the leading folks are saying, not just in the retail space, but also in other vertical markets. And so we feel a responsibility to see what do the most successful solution providers do and make sure we bring that back to our community and present it in a variety of fashions. We have an annual trade show called Retail Now that's going to be in late July this year in Orlando that always draws like 1,500, 2,000 of these professionals. We have an expo hall sold out last year. We're hoping to do that again this year, get about 200 exhibitors. And then we have education sessions there as well. But the power is in the community, right? Because you have folks who are similarly situated to you, as opposed to a broader technology conference. Almost everybody you rub elbows with at that event is going to be able to positively impact your business. It could be a potential partner for you. So that is really like the why behind why the association exists. We really save those technology solution providers a lot of time finding partners and then building up their business. Instead of going it alone and stubbing their toe and going, ooh, I learned from that, they're able to tap other people on the shoulder and really learn from their experience. So that's kind of the power of the RSPA community.
And you work on both sides of the border, which I know. So you're both in Canada and the U.S., and you look internationally, but that's really your focus. And for the listeners to be clear, when you say end users, We're talking about, in our context, the retailers or the restaurant operators themselves. So really, this is the ecosystem that supports, it started as a cash register organization, mm-hmm. but really, you know, you could be installing Wi-Fi and into warehouses. Like, it is really much broader. It is the retail technology solutions behind the end users, but one step before them, right?
That is correct, 100%. These are the folks who are really doing the designing, the planning. And it's almost funny when you see in the mainstream news, hey, here's this new technology that so-and-so is working with. Mm. To our members, it's not the first time they've heard of it. It's like, sure. Oh, I thought that was old news, right? Because yeah. They got to see a lot of the testing and yeah. a lot of the developing. They got to be involved in a lot of it. So these are really the demand creators and the folks who are, because retail needs technology. It's not just a nice to have now. These are the folks who are fulfilling those needs for sure. Yeah. And we do focus, North America is our core focus. Yes.
Yeah. It's really a sustainable competitive advantage if you do it right. But doing it right means, you know, keeping up as the end user, the retailer, the operator, you got to keep up with a whole lot of stuff, right? And things, it's interesting. You and I were talking about this with the other board members about how what used to be differentiators quickly seem to become kind of table stakes, right? I mean, we look at the percentage of businesses that are almost all or no cash only. So if you think about the genesis of the organization, imagine in, you know, when it began 75 years ago, telling the members, you know, one day no one will use cash. I mean, you know, it's almost like there would be Martians who are buying from your stores. You know, it's like, it's weird to think of, right?
Well, my daughter and I over the weekend went to a history museum, and they had set up like an old school pharmacy, and there was a giant cash register. And I thought to myself, try to tap your card on that thing, right? Like, you know, it's just so different how it is. And again, we cherish our heritage because we know at that time, those were the leading technologies. And so that's kind of our mission, is to continue, you know, whatever what the founders started back in 1948, they were the ones who are really providing the next level technology to those merchants. And that's what we're tasked with today. The technology is different and it's going to keep changing. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do, keep up as an association and keep our membership ahead of the pace and keep their merchants a couple steps ahead as well.
Now, let's just really quickly unpack some of the acronyms here in the ecosystem of VAR. What's a VAR? What's an ISV? What's a DISTI? So imagine you've got, let's say, vendors, like pick out a couple of big names, the people who, you know, whether it's HP or Epson, who make a product. And then how does that product quickly get to market through your members' ecosystem? Just for those who are the retailers listening, they may not see all the moving parts behind the things that appear on their shelves, but I think let's take a minute and unpack that for them.
Yes, and so that's what we call in general the indirect channel, the indirect business model. So, you know, again, if there's a big deal where a tier one retailer wants to buy, you know, 50,000 printers, I'm just throwing a number out there, they're going to work directly with oftentimes that
the people who make
manufacturer.
Right.
But for, you know, smaller deals or things that are a little bit nichier, what happens is, so just say a printer manufacturer, they produce, you know, all of their printers, a whole bunch of printers, but they don't want to focus on the sales, the service, the installation. So oftentimes they will work with a distributor who stocks all of those items that they have. And so the distributor has relationships with these VARs, these value-added resellers. So
a distributor, just throw out some names of people I know, could be like a Blue Star. That would be an example.
Correct. Yeah, Blue Star Canada. There's ScanSource, Ingram Micro, TD Synnex, right? Those are some of the big ones in the space. And so they are the ones who kind of have all the products on hand. And so the value-added reseller, they can have a relationship directly with a merchant. They'll have it with a distributor or multiple distributors. So when they are knocking on the door of, again, more of an SMB tier 2, 3, 4, 5 retailer merchant, they will be able to say, here's the solution that I can provide for you, right? They go and they do the site survey. Here's what you're missing. Here's how you can do better. Then that value-added reseller, again, who tends to know that vertical very well, and they tend to know that region very well, they will go back to their distributors and or their vendor partners and start putting together a best of breed bundle. There used to be a day back in the day, and in fact, this is how the RSPA was for a while, where it was, all I do is I'm a dealer of NCR or I'm a dealer of micros, and everything you got, it was just from that one provider. But now, you know, the most common, especially in, you know, the SMB space, is the best of breed. And so that's what those VARs will do. And the other important player in this is what we call the ISV, independent software vendor. And these are the folks who are making the software, either the core POS software or add-on software, whether it's like a loyalty solution or, you know, some, you know, online shopping, e-commerce, things of that nature. So you can imagine, if you're a merchant, you don't want to have to navigate all that stuff on your own. And who are the best software providers?
What are all these things? So you have, you've got, so you're overwhelmed by choice as a, as an SMB. You're in business to sell or do whatever you're really good at, not to be a technology whiz, right?
Right. And you heard in the board meeting, I don't think we're speaking out of school by saying this, there's a real filter that has to run through of, people, you know, a provider can say they're going to do this, but sometimes they think they, you know, they're more hopeful than they are.
Aspirational, we call it.
More aspirational, yes. And so these value-added resellers, they have the years of experience that can say, somebody might think that's going to work, but let me tell you what's going to work in that environment. And I can say, you and I went to NRF. Have you ever, Michael, tried to eat lunch in the basement there at NRF, down on that first floor?
Tried. Yeah.
And it's just like always a mess. And I'm always thinking like, man, they need a VAR to come in and say, let me tell you how to manage your lines. Let me tell you why you shouldn't have this tiny point of sale system that has a little, you know, receipt printer in it. And it has one that can handle the high volume that you're looking for. It's always a zoo down there. But if they lean on a VAR could straighten them out, have a way better customer experience.
They could fix that. All right, NRF people who are listening to the podcast, there you go. Let's spend the last couple of minutes talking about, you know, you've got your hand on the pulse through the association and through 700 plus members of what's happening in retail. What retail trends kind of, and we just came back from Inspire, a great show. We were talking about trends in the industry. What trends kind of couple, three trends pop out at you as something important that your members and this part of the ecosystem are thinking about and working on?
Well, one is, like you just talked about, from an NRF standpoint, there I got to attend NRF last year when, you know, right in the middle of Omicron. And again, a lot of people had bailed on that, the most surreal trade show I ever.
I'm sure.
You know, I don't want to experience that again. That's for sure. And so there was a lot of doubt there if retail was ever going to come back, let alone how, if it did, how long it was going to take to come back. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is that that place was hopping. It was well attended. I think a lot of people were surprised how it just surged back to very close to normal levels. But, and I think, so that like is a trend that retail's back. But what we see is driving it is, and we've kind of touched on it earlier, right? Retailers are struggling with labor. And what can solve that? Technology, right? Consumers want a seamless buying experience across any channel. You can't do that manually, right? You have to do that from a technology standpoint. And then everything is about customer service now, right? Not just the efficiency on the back end. How do you provide that delightful customer experience? And how do you make a stickier relationship as a retailer, make it a true experience rather than just going in there and moving products? And that's where technology comes into play as well. So I think that's part of what is driving this, is there are way higher demands on retailers, and technology is the solution to that. So there's, folks have been talking for how many months now about there's a recession coming, there's a recession coming. Then you ask every individual in the technology space, you know, again, especially these, you know, some of these SMB players, I'm not talking about the, you know, these large social media companies who, you know, are in the tech world, but the folks who we talk with, they're all like, I had a really good 2022. And 2023 seems to be moving in that direction. And that's, I guess, where I really think it is. And I'd love to get your take on that, Michael, in terms of, do you think, like, and have you seen that folks are staying strong and you're going to continue to have a strong 2023 because technology is the solution to a lot of these issues that retailers are having, problems and opportunities?
Yeah, we've been thinking about, you know, a super cycle really coming out of COVID. I mean, COVID was disruptive in many, many ways. One of the things, it both pointed some direction in terms of innovation and necessary investments. So, for example, boy, I can't understand on any given day, some days, what's going to happen in supply chain. So I better get better visibility. I get better, more automation. And you're right. People is the probably the number one concern, superseding now, fortunately, supply chain, which has simmered down. But you really need, you know, technology isn't the singular only answer, but it's a pretty good answer, right? Some automation, get people moving, line busting stuff. I mean, your example is spot on, right? Get the right technology in the right store to make people move at that point of that one point of friction, and, you know, entertain them and do whatever you want, have a great experience. But once you get that cash out or that credit card out, you want to get in and out really quick. So I think there's both from deferred projects during COVID to projects that were highlighted necessary, plus just existing trends. I think technology is just has a, you know, a big super cycle of to it, and we're seeing that we're hearing that directly from the members, actually, right? So we're not imagining it.
Correctly. Again, I'm looking at my note again. Mobilize the expertise of others and share collectivism. It's not just a good gut feel that we have at the RSPA. Yeah. It's our members are telling us and sharing with us the banner years that they're having and the banner forecasts that they're having, because they are, again, providing those solutions that are really meeting the needs at the hour that retailers need them most.
We just came back together from Inspire. You have the organization has two major events of the year. You also kind of do a Canadian event, typically during the Restaurants Canada show and others. But you've got a big one coming up in Orlando. What's the objective of that? I guess it is part to continue to build the community, but also kind of tap into that wisdom and then allow members. And for the listeners, is that something they might want to think about going to and participating in? Talk a little bit about Orlando.
Yeah, so we call retail now, we always say it's where the industry meets. And that industry is, again, that indirect retail IT technology channel that we call it. And so the way that we're different in this space is, like I mentioned, all those distributors earlier, we mentioned a lot of their software companies, they have their own partner conferences. And those events are great because you go to those and it's all about that product or that group. And it's very focused in that regard. However, they don't have, you know, people from other distributors or other software companies. And so that's where our event is, again, in North America, all those technology solution providers getting together in that one spot. And so that's really is the opportunity for education, formal, right from the stage, or informal, where you're bumping into folks and, you know, gathering their business cards. You're able to follow up and say, how did you navigate this problem before? And then again, the expo hall, we're able to put in there, you know, close to 200 different vendors. So if you are a technology solution provider and you're saying, I'd like to move into this new technology, or I'd like to expand the folks who are offering me whatever, you know, hardware or software, it's like one-stop shopping for all that. So like in 48 hours, you can really change the trajectory of the shape of your business based on what you learn there and based on the partners that you get there. So if there's an end user listening to this, a retailer, it is not the place for a retailer to go, because it is a niche event for the folks who are technology solution providers. And I know, Michael, I have a lot of technology companies who listen to this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anybody who plays or is looking at the indirect business model, or as a software developer looking for best practices or new partners or hardware provider or one of those VARs, it is the place to be, because you're getting the higher caliber technology solution providers, because they're investing in their business. They're investing in that travel. They're not what some folks call trunk slammers, right? Where they're just selling something out of their trunk, you know, with whatever, you know, they have left over. So it is, you know, the next level up, the highest level of all those solution providers in North America.
Well, for the end users, as we call them in this, it is really they should have confidence that there's a bunch of very smart people getting together trying to figure out their problems or their issues or make their businesses better. And that's what the Orlando conference is all about, and that's what your association is about. So where can folks go to learn more and get in touch? Are you a LinkedIn guy? And talk about that a bit.
I am. I'm very much a LinkedIn guy. You know, it
fellow
was funny. My daughter
too. Fellow podcast.
We haven't even. Yeah, we do. RSP does have a podcast. Yeah, there's a lot of you know, different benefits that we offer to our members. But yeah, the best way to find me on LinkedIn, just, you know, search my name. I'm not the guy who is running the local government over in Ireland. That's another Jim Roddy. So I'm the Jim Roddy who's with the RSPA. Yes. And so you connect with me through there. You can go onto the RSPA website at go. rspa.org. Again, not we're a nonprofit.
Not the Softball Association, which is what you get.
Correct, yeah. Yes. Some people say GORSPA, GORSPA.org. Then if you want to connect with somebody on our team, just email membership@GORSPA.org. That does not commit you to buying a membership if you send an email to membership@GORSPA.org. But we're happy to share with you everything that we're able to offer technology solution providers. And again, Michael, you've experienced it firsthand. Yep. And that's a feedback we got from Inspire, like such a warm and welcoming community, friendliest group of business people I've ever been associated with.
From one association to another, very well run, much respect, and appreciate you and the work that you do, Jim. It continues to be great to know you. It's been great to know you, but it will continue to be great to know you and the members. And listen, thanks for so much for joining me on The Voice of Retail.
Hey, thank you, and look forward to seeing you at retail now. And Michael, we'll be talking soon. Hopefully you can play a big role there in terms of presenting your knowledge with our members. We appreciate what you shared so far and looking forward to more in the future.
All right. Well, safe travels, and look forward to seeing you soon, Jim.
See you soon. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and follow on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically each week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, Remarkable Retail Podcast with Steve Dennis, and the Global E-Commerce Leaders Podcast. Last but not least, if you're at a barbecue, check out my YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, growth consultant, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media, and keynote speaker. If you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Safe travels, everyone.